Tannehill for the Dolphins survey. What he sees in front of him, a field of defensive backs and a hawking tight end who stands at the 15-yard line. Tannehill throws down the middle, caught by Stills, laterals back to Butler, or rather Parker, who flips it to Drake. He runs across the 40 of New England, angling inside to the 30, 25, 20, 15, 10. He's going to win the foot race to the end zone. The Dolphins are going to win it on the lateral. Once, then twice, and Drake takes it in, and the Patriots stand stunned in disbelief.
And with all of that, we say, oh, Jesus, to everybody out there. Scott Zolak, New England Patriots, play-by-play. Why do I keep calling play-by-play? Color announcer joins us this morning. Scott, thanks for coming on, man. What did that feel like, bud?
Well, you can tell I'm still not talking on the replay there. I think we broke a record for 37 seconds of silence. In the radio world, that's like 2 hours, but after you let it breathe, and I'm sitting there and I'm looking at Bob Sosie, my play-by-play guy, and I'm like, this really happened? And you got to understand, I mean, we've been on the other end of that stuff too at times, you know, down 25 in a Super Bowl, and they come back and pretty much win it in that type of fashion.
Right.
Or sweep. I mean, that's the game, man. That's football. I'm shocked by it. I really am. Just based on, you know, the conditions and how it was unwinding, you could hear Ryan Eagle on the TV say, well, that'll about do it prior to the snap. And, yeah, man, I mean, they pulled it off. It was, you know, by the way, and I said it after the case on the broadcast, that was a hell of a design by Adam Gase. That's a pretty good design for that type of play in that situation because, I mean, you got about a 99.7 chance, I think, of that not succeeding from that point on the last play.
That, by the way, I heard that stat. I had about 20 people call me and give me that stat. It was more 99% chance because Everybody was trying to find all these different ways to second-guess Belichick at the end of the game. Why didn't he score? And I'm like, 99% chance of where that ball was is pretty good. Like, I don't have a problem with what he did from the 31-yard line. I guess the thing is the Gronk who got a lot of heat and everybody was having fun. Did that surprise you with Gronk being deep, or did you know that was coming?
Going even back to the days of Parcells, we would always take our biggest guy regardless of the last play of the game. And if you even remember looking at Gronkowski, he wasn't on the goal line. So he's not defending the goal line. He was up around the 12 or the 15. So what he's there to do is bat down any long throw. Say the Dolphins would be dumb enough to throw one as deep as you can. Nobody, I think there's only one guy in the league that could throw it 70. It'd be probably Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes.
You're probably right. Because Tannehill would have just about hit Gronk where he was standing. You're right. Probably right.
But you're still trying to knock that down there, and you don't want a deflection back to the 18 to where a guy can pick it up and get in. The problem everybody has, I think, is with Devin McCourty not being out there. He's your best defender, your best tackling defender. You know, I don't know why there wasn't three or four safeties back there with the big guy to help prevent that. Gronk's not a tackler. He's not back here to tackle. He's back here to knock something down.
What do you think Gronk was feeling when Drake was about at the 20-yard line? Gronk obviously came out and said how bad that play was and how bad it was, but can you imagine what's going through Gronk's head at that point when he's literally the last one or they're going to lose the game?
Yeah, I mean, you panic, really. It's like, oh, bleep. And you heard me say, oh, Jesus. And that was at the 20 because I forget who it was. I think it was 66. You got to give credit.
Yeah, Ted Larson. Yeah, 62. That's right. Yeah.
Larson got his ass all the way downfield, and when I said that, that's when he pinned Patrick Chung to the outside to allow Drake to cut that back inside. And that's when I saw it, because he went straight, and then he's got Gronk, and it's like a yield sign, left or right.
Scott, I said that yesterday on the show. If Gronk doesn't stumble, I think he pushes him out of bounds at like the 1 yard line. I think it gets that close.
Yeah, if he didn't stumble and trip up, he would have had him.
Hey, so I want to ask you this because everybody wants to know, the Patriots play so great on the road against everybody. Well, hell, they play perfect at home and really well on the road. What do you think the biggest problem at this Hard Rock, at playing down here in South Florida in general?
I don't know. I love the new I hate the broadcast booth. It's the worst in the league. You
yeah.
guys know
no,
that.
No, we're by ourselves. But, no, it's. Didn't I apologize to you before the game, too? I've had to everybody
yeah.
else. Yeah.
Joe always does, yeah.
It's unbelievable. But I think the whole picturesque part of it, you know what I mean? They did a really nice job with the facade. I think it's a good-looking stadium. It's kind of got that South Florida nightclub feel, and that's what you're trying to develop and have that culture down there. It's everything. It's getting down there. It's the beach. It's all their fans are down there. And not to say you don't get distracted, but you talk about it so much during the week. All they talked about was how many IVs you're going to take. Is it going to be humid? Is it right. going to be hot? Will the sun be out? And eventually, you know, that's in the back of your head. You're human. You can't tune everything out. And it's great home field advantage. It's like why we like playing up here in the playoffs. It's going to be 29 degrees and icy out. Dome teams and West Coast teams don't like to come here. It's the same yeah. thing.
By the way, I'm just guessing now that we've said that still, even though you're going home and that's a tough loss, you're still sitting there at 9-4 with a chance to still control yeah. everything throughout the playoffs if this thing plays out right.
Yeah, I mean, we've got a great game this week against Pittsburgh. We've had that one circled since day one. Boy, they screwed things up royally the last 3 weeks. So that happens as we're getting on the plane on Sunday. You hear the Pittsburgh score start to wind down, and that comes out. This would have been cataclysmic if Kansas City lost. If Kansas City lost and we didn't jump on that and take the number one seed, Houston got beaten by Indianapolis.
Yep.
So we're still sitting pretty at number two. So two-game lead in the division. All you got to do is win out. You're at least guaranteed the number two seed. That's all you can really ask for at this point.
Scott, what did you think of the way that Belichick handled everything? He pretty much, as you would expect, hey, that's on me. I got to do a better job coaching. Did he surprise anything he said yesterday?
Well, whatever he tells his team, he's not going to tell us.
Right.
No, so, I mean, he was so quick to the podium, and that could be one of those where he went in post-game and said, guys, I didn't have you ready. I screwed up the end of the game. That's on me. Keep everything in house. Talk about it. Let's go back, get ready for Pittsburgh. And boom, he was right to the podium. Barely, he beat us getting downstairs to be there. There was only three questions asked to him.
Yeah.
What do you think? Like, I know you got Pittsburgh coming this week, and obviously Dolphin fans got to be rooting for New England this week because they need New England to win that game, knock Pittsburgh
yeah,
kind of down. Yeah,
we're all
Patriot fans this week.
Go Pats.
Yeah. Brady had a good game. It just the run game didn't work this weekend, and the Dolphins in the last couple of years have been ripped for that run defense. They let Brady get his. Is that's not the usual blueprint to beat the Patriots? Is let Brady get his and stop the run game? I couldn't believe that when I was watching that unfold.
I mean, other than his mismanagement of the clock at the end of the first half, he thought we had a timeout. We didn't. We've never seen that.
That's un-Brady like. Yes.
Yeah, that was the best he's thrown the ball all year. I'm talking about timing. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Boom. Speed outs. You know, it's the old Marino 15-yard comeback, just banging on him. Can't stop that play. A skinny post he threw to Cordarrelle Patterson earlier was probably his best throw of the year. And we don't even throw the skinnies. We don't do that, you know. But, I mean, in rhythm, in time, I think footing was an issue a little bit up front. But that's not an excuse. You know, defenders got to play in it too.
By the way, I'm looking at the offense. That's a pretty healthy offense that this group has. You guys are about as healthy as I've seen the Patriots in a long time. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, that's the first week. That's the best we've had the combination of Edelman and Gronkowski all year. Remember, Julian had the four games suspension. It's taken him a while to get back. He got nicked up. Both were finally taken off the injury report on Friday. So that, you know, now we got Burkhead back and we got a full allotment of backs. Sony's got to dip that shoulder a little bit. Sony Michel, you know, sort of that breakaway guy down at Georgia. He's got to get that interior stuff going for us.
Yeah.
What have you thought about Josh Gordon, by the way, the addition of Josh Gordon to this team this year?
He's been so quiet. I mean, to stand next to him, you know, Rondae Gadsden down there was a big dude, you know, for a receiver. This guy's 6'5", 240, 245. And really, it's all muscle. I mean, it is all muscle. It's scary to think that type of guy has that talent. Now, he's getting close to breaking something. You know, I mean, we've tried to force feed it, and now he's into the offense. I think great sight adjustment this week on slants. You know, he's plucking the ball with his hands. If we can get him up and really running, we're going to be hard to beat. You know, it's that time of year.
Well, Scott, we just wanted to let you know, man, outside of all of us screaming and yelling like three idiots, that was great to have a little old Jesus in there.
Yep.
So I want to just thank you for that, my man.
Yep.
That was
We love coming down here. And I don't know about you guys. I keep the throwback uniforms. Those things.
Yes.
No. That's a great. By the way, can you say that one more time for our fan base because they agree? Yeah.
Whatever you do, remember this: when you're a good fan base and you want to be a good fan base, stay true to what you are. Don't become Jacksonville and change your uniform five times. You don't need the white face mask on a white helmet, and then you got the tail flip of the dolphin going up because now you want a happy dolphin. Now, go back to the Larry Dolphin stuff. You know, Jimmy Cefalo should be all over that every broadcast.
You're exactly right. Yep. I'm going to take the homer right out of him, man, the company, man. You're exactly right, Scott. Hey, bud.
Two former players in there, man. Look at the end zone. The end zones are great.
Scott, thank you, man, for coming on. I appreciate it. You take care.
Right. Good luck the rest of the year.
All right. Back at you, man. Scott Zolak joining us here. Talk a little bit about the whole thing. He's right about the uniforms, man.
I love the uniforms.
I think
why we don't keep those forever,
don't you have to stay with throwback while you got it rolling?
Yes.
We're all a little superstitious.
Yes. It's the same thing. It's the opposite that's happening with those Vice uniforms for the Heat. They don't want to use those anymore because they're losing. The Dolphins are playing well in these uniforms. Keep them out. Who do we have to yell at?
I'm laughing.
Who are we yelling at?
That guy, more than anybody in the league.
No one has a better job than him when it comes to
the
radio.
He's one of my favorite guys.
I'm sure.
He's
always happy. He's always winning.
Well, that's it. I mean, he comes out and it's like you see
the
record.
He's not the Browns play-by-play guy.
Yeah.
Or ours.
Since he took over that job, I have to look it up. He has no idea what losing looks like. He has no idea. He jumped on that Belichick-Brady bandwagon, and it's been a nice run. It's got to be fun going in, going, you know you're not getting blown out.
No.
And you know you got a really good chance to win every week. Every week.
How about when you start the season and you're worried about home field advantage of the playoffs, not sneaking into the wild card, and you're a Super Bowl contender?
No, they don't.
What's that
this.
Like?
Yeah, they're not going 6-6 and going, we got to win three of these last four.
What's that like?
Anyway, I want to thank Scott for coming on this morning with us here.
Jesus.
Yeah, but that old Jesus thing was.
That was classic.
I mean, I made the whole call. He's going, and then you could see it. He said, like he said, about the 20-yard line. He goes, oh, Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
That was.
Good Lord.
I got a little chuckle. That was good. We got a lot more stuff to get to here this morning.